Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us of her experience of participating in Reflective Listening Buddies. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Jan. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for being with us. So I think it was all our conversation last week where we were talking about virtual meditation groups, where we were talking about that place where, you know, there are a number of programs that, as Sangha, we all kind of know that they're out there. Oh, yeah, Reflective Listening Buddies. And yet it's different to hear someone who has had the experience of participating. And I know you're an old veteran of the program. And so we thought it would be fun to have you on, given that we have a quarter coming up. And I think the deadline for signing up is coming right on up. So we thought it would be fun to hear directly from you your experience of the program and kind of how you feel like your practice has benefited from it. So thank you for being with us this afternoon to talk about that.
Oh, I'm so happy to participate. So Reflective Listening Buddies seems like a really simple program. Basically, you're on a call with your buddy for half an hour a week, and you each take turns talking while the other one reflects back what you said for half of the call. And, I mean, you each have half of the call. And so mm-hmm. it's a very simple process, and the transformation I have found is profound. And part of it is showing up for commitments, which is always fabulous. And when I first started, I remember wishing that my buddy would forget to call, or sometimes even forgetting to call myself, which shows how identified I was. And I was always so happy to be on the call, to have been on the call.
It's so classic, isn't it? There's conditioning back there like, please let them forget, please let them forget, please let them forget, right? Because I project it's telling you this whole story of like, what's going to happen? This is going to happen, and you're not going to be able to do this, and you can't reflect, and da, da, da. And then, shoot, they call, and you're on the call, and it's like, oh, thank God for that.
Yes, yes. So it became very clear early on that this was a really important practice for me because there was so much resistance and so many stories about it going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, and as practitioners, what we learn is, aha, that's my huge green light. Like, oh, okay, this is the one for me. This is where the resistance is. And so this is where I really want to go for it because, I mean, that very simple thing you just said is such a good illustration of it. Because there's conditioning resisting the call. Why is it resisting the call? Well, because when I get on that call, I'm going to feel so expansive and so, these are my words, but sort of taken care of and, you know, back here in the moment and in enjoyment and all those things. And, of course, it doesn't want that.
Uh-huh, which touches on two of the other things that make it so important for me. And one is being supported by Sangha and supporting Sangha just through this really simple once-a-week activity, just feeling connected with and being connected with. And so there's another example of how we belong and how we are moving along this path together.
You know, that is such a good point, Laura. And I think when I saw you said that was, it's unique in that way, actually, because it really is two folks in Sangha making a phone call, just the two of us showing up for each other, for ourselves. And it's facilitated in the sense that, reflective listening, which we can talk about in a minute, you know, the mechanics of that, but that is a form of facilitation. So certainly it's a facilitated process, but it's not kind of group and it's not, you know, a formal, it's not retreat and it's not, and I think often in those sorts of settings,
oh, whoops, Jen, I just lost you.
Jen, are you there?
Can you, yeah, sorry, Michael.
Oops, there you are.
My headset just did the strangest thing. Where did you lose me?
In those sorts of settings.
In those sorts of settings. Okay, not too long ago. Good. In those sorts of settings, I think what it can feel like is, oh, you know, wow, that facilitator, or, you know, this retreat curriculum, or, wow, I mean, this is really, and you'll hear people say all the time, say to Sherry, oh, thank you, Sherry, so much. And what I am always struck by is how she'll say something along the lines of, we're lucky, aren't we, to have practice. And I just saw in what you were saying, Laura, that reflective listening buddies really is a concrete experience of Sangha showing up for Sangha, and how clearly it's just we're all participating in practice together, and we're all creating practice together.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that builds on that, and that really does make it, you know, like a monastery experience, is mm-hmm. the willingness and also the need to be fully present for this time, to be present to reflect what the other person is saying, and to be present to hear reflected back to us what we are saying.
So really building the fundamental skill, excuse me, of practice, which is truly being here. And listening being really one of the most exquisite expressions of that presence, isn't it? That, as you say, mm-hmm. in order to be able to reflect back the words of my buddy, I got to really be there for it. Just really be here listening.
And also feeling heard, which is
and
the other part
heard.
Of that.
Yeah. Right, because how often do we talk, you know, in our lives and not really even hear ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Much less think that somebody else we're talking to has been listening or hearing us.
which is shockingly rare, actually, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, given how all of us as humans, I think we're conditioned to, you know, you're talking to me, but mostly I'm in my head thinking about what I'm going to say next, right? Nothing personal, not that I'm not interested in you, right? It's just that, you know, I've got to have my attention on me, really, let's face it. But in that reflective listening process, it truly is an experience of getting out of me and just being in that presence.
Yes, just totally showing up for somebody else and at the same time showing up for ourselves.
Exactly. We're the absolute primary beneficiary of it. Of both sides, I project. That's my experience.
Yes.
Both when I
yes.
get to talk about what's going on with me and when I get to reflect.
Yes, and often what will happen is at the beginning of the call, I'll have no idea what I'm going to talk about, and something just drops in and I start talking. And it might be something that I didn't even realize I was suffering over or struggling with or needing clarity on, and just hearing my own words reflected back, I will come to clarity.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
It's totally, it's a miracle.
It is. It's a miracle. I think we were talking about miracles this morning on the show, weren't we?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It truly is. Just that reflection of someone reflecting back for me what I said becomes an opening for me to see the next. It's sort of, I always find myself going, and da da da. And it literally is almost as if, so they're reflecting back to me what I said, but it's like they've said something new to me, right? New that I didn't, it doesn't feel like I said it. It feels new. And from that, I see this other thing. And furthermore, and that's, I feel like what you're pointing at, that's what facilitates that clarity.
Yes, it's like diving deeper.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's like diving deeper. Yeah. Yes.
And it's so much fun.
And it
These
is
calls
so
are
much
just
fun.
Fun. Even if they're,
they are,
you know, dealing with a painful content or process,
yep.
they're still
yep.
so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, gosh, just getting to be with what is, as it is, in complete acceptance, and I would even go so far as to say unconditional love, right? That, mm-hmm. you know, being in that place where I'm simply going to be here for you and reflect back in your own words what you're saying really is an exquisite act of love, because there's such an adequacy in it. I'm not going to try to change you. I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, there's so much in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And as you say that, Jen, what just dropped in for me was often whatever my buddy is talking about, I can so relate to.
Yeah.
That either I've been through the same thing or I'm
yeah.
coming up. I mean, it's just, it's the human condition just laid
yeah.
out right there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the restraint and religious observance comes in, right? To not say, oh my God, me too.
Oh yes, absolutely. No, no, that would spoil everything.
Yeah. But we can
but
be,
just to be
in our energy, we're giving that saying, oh, we're all in this together. Yeah.
Yes, yes, we're all
yeah.
Sangha and we're all on the same path and we're just traveling along holding hands.
Truly, truly. And I do see, I can't believe it, Laura, we do need to wrap up, but I'm guessing that you see the benefits of participating in this practice in other areas of your life, that you see it expanding into other places in
yes.
your life.
Yes, yes. Yeah, even just mm-hmm. to reflect somebody.
Yes.
Just having a regular conversation with my husband or whoever, just to reflect back in his words, it just
yeah.
brings us together. It connects us. Even you know, even if he thinks I'm weird for repeating what he said or doesn't even notice, which is most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still a kind of a bonding experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think again, people aren't used to being listened to in that way. There can be a impersonal kind of intimacy in it that I think many of us are not used to. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And just the last note about it is that for folks who may not, you know, have any experience with reflective listening and don't know how to do it, and so I'm going to project for a lot of folks, that creates a voice that says, well, that's not for me because I don't know how to do that, and I'd be terrible at it, and I have a horrible memory, and, you know, all those things. Rest assured that there are training calls to walk folks through the process, and that it's not about getting the words, you know, perfectly and getting every single word right and any of that. I mean, as you point out, we're Sangha practicing together, and we know that we're all always doing the best we can and that we're coming together to practice together. So there truly is no pressure in terms of that sort of thing. There's a lot of support in the program for folks doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's certainly been my experience.
Yeah. 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 Which is another element of it. The support calls, I think, are, you know, they're just another fabulous chance to get together with Sangha and hear what folks are seeing. And as you say, we always relate to all of it and, you know, great benefit
yeah.
all the way around.
Yeah. 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 Certainly is.
Certainly is. Well, thanks for being with us, Laura. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, I think it's good. I just would encourage people to sign up because we were all newcomers once, and a lot of times I'll get on that call and still feel like a newcomer, which is a good place to be.
Yeah. It is a good place to be. It is a good place to be. And I just think you know, we can all just use all the support we can get. So as you say, it's a support for our own practice. And in signing up, you're supporting someone else's practice too. So it's really
exactly so.
A great opportunity.
Thank you
way.
So much.
Thank you, Laura. Take good care.
You too.
Good night. Or good afternoon,
good
I should say. It's still quite early
yes.
where you are. Thank
Aloha.
You, Laura. Aloha. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Wasn't How are
that
you?
Fun? Good, good. I was really enjoying that. How are you?
Yes, I'm great. Thank you. Yeah, I was enjoying that as well.
In fact, I saw something in that conversation that I found extraordinary, I had just never seen it the way I was able to see it when Laura and Jen were talking about it. So one of the things that is so powerful about being together as Sangha, so say we're at a group, in a group setting, in a retreat or center or monastery or wherever we are, and we're in a conversation. And so there you are, and there I am, and so you say something, and then I say something about what you said, and then you say something about what I said, and I say something about what you said. And if people can picture it, it's like we're building, right? So you add something, yes. And then I add something. And what I saw in that conversation was actually, as Laura was indicating, we're going deeper. Yes. So we're not adding, you know, it's like we're getting deeper with each exchange, looking at a deeper level. And what I saw as they were talking is that's what reflective listening buddies does for an individual. So you get to go deeper and deeper and deeper into your own practice, because if we were buddies, then I'm talking about something and you would reflect what I said. And as Jen said, yes, yes, and and then I would say the next thing and you would reflect that. Yes. And I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper into my own process.
Yes.
So it really is the other person helps us be a group of one, right?
Yes. Yes, being that perfect mirror to what is being shared to give you the opportunity to go deeper.
Yes. Yeah, so I think we're kind of used to it when other people are involved, you know, but it's, as they were saying, it's when it's just yourself and reflected in that way. It's very special.
Yes, yes, very special. A group of one.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yes, yes.
Well, what else is going on?
Well, what else is going on is the Family Karma Retreat coming up in North Carolina, which is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but rather an investigation of the ego of the, quote, story of me, unquote.
Yes.
Yes. And through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we will practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control.
Mm-hmm. People come into that retreat and go, oh, I've been in therapy all my life. Do I really have to? And then at the end of the retreat, it's like, huh. Well, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
Yes. And this retreat, April 15th through 20th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. I think there are just a couple of spots left. So if anybody's on the fence, it would be good to get off the fence and let us know.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
And as we heard from Jen and Laura, Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins April 15th, and the deadline to register is April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love all this stuff to take the sting out of taxes. We have all these events.
Yes, perfect.
We hope.
And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini. Practice weekend is coming up May 16th through 19th.
This is where I say the very most beautiful time of year to be at that place.
Yes, yes. The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, 8th through 15th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California, is a chance to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Michael, what are the dates of that?
8 through 15.
Of May?
Of June.
Oh, of June. Oh, thank goodness. I was going to say, I think we're double booked there on that practice weekend, and there's nothing wrong with you. That'd be exciting. Okay, June.
Yes.
All right. That's better.
Yeah, not till June. June 8th.
All right.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today and you're not in the queue yet, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, it lasts about 5 minutes, is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are ready, Sherry.
I think so. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. You're welcome. And here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Margaret from Nashville.
Well, hello, Margaret.
Hey, Margaret
in Nashville.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Twice in 1 week.
I know. Let's make a habit of this.
I know. Thank you for the reminder about Reflective Listening Buddies, just how powerful that experience is. Yeah, and I just seeing how it will be a very big support for this year-long retreat, I think, to have that extra, you know, processing, looking time.
Yes, because we're on that particular retreat, we're doing some big work, huh? And so having all of the other opportunities to process that processing can be very, very helpful.
Yeah. So the question guidance I'm looking for today, if it's possible, is just around developing a compassionate schedule for myself. I seem to have missed all the opportunities to date on the classes around that. And I just was wondering if you might have some suggestions for, not to get trapped into conditioning, you know, co-opting and taking over the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the first time we did a thing on that, nobody put play in their schedule.
Yeah.
Right? There was nothing light, nothing with entertainment or any of that sort of thing. So how are you approaching it now, or what have you come up with? What do you want to accomplish? Why do you want to schedule?
Well, I want to schedule because, so my practice focus for the current portion of the retreat is to counteract the karma of just being distracted and better ideas and something else is better than here, you know. And so my practice is around staying and just stay. That's the word that came to me. And what I know about, you know, being at the monastery and I also have had this experience myself is that when there's something to show up to, whatever the next thing is, there's a lot less room for noodling, And it just mm-hmm. is really support,
mm-hmm.
presence and attention to the what's at hand, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It would,
yeah. So, so what you want to accomplish with this is training yourself to be more present, to not fall for distraction. And so you make a commitment to something, and that's a way of going up against that. Oh, you do that later. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. All of that ego jerking us around kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what are the things you would like to have in your schedule?
Well, I have thought a lot about that and many of the things I'm doing already. Exercising early in the morning and it's a pretty relaxed pace of, you know, that I have for the morning. I have that luxury. So getting up to exercise, and I get up fairly early, 5:30, and as part of the morning routine, I want to add in recording, listening, and meditation. Mm-hmm. I'm currently have been on the radio show, the morning radio show, every day so far.
Thank
and
you.
I know. I was celebrating mm-hmm. that.
That's something, yeah.
Yeah, and also when I'm exercising, I ride the bike, mm-hmm. and so I listen to the radio show from the day before again,
uh-huh.
so I hear it twice, uh-huh. which is really helpful. And so what feels like sort of the natural flow of the day is that conditioning would say my day doesn't really get started until about noon. After doing all my self-care items.
Because you're just wasting your time on exercise and recording and listening and meditation. And, yeah, so now around noon you get into real life.
Right. And I do have, you know, lots of other sort of, you know, other life things that I'm committed to doing. And what I notice is that by being caught in the conversation all the time of when am I going to do this or that less actually gets accomplished and I'm less present for all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a really important thing to notice, right? What you've just laid out. You know what you're going to do first thing in the morning. You get up early and you do that. And mm-hmm. and you do it because mm-hmm. there isn't all of that noodling about it. So I'm projecting then what you want to do is add that same clarity to these other things in your life that are important for you to attend to.
Yes.
Yeah. So how might that be laid out? Like if you did 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3, you know, that's how my calendar lays out anyway. Are there things that you would schedule in? So at from 2 to 3, you would... Uh-huh. Or is it much more fluid than that?
I would say the morning is more fluid. And I think the afternoon, I think I could have kind of hour slots and...
like you're going to do email from 2 to 3, or you're going to schedule meetings from... 3 to 4, or conference calls from,
Mm-hmm. And I'm also realized too that I, at the end of each hour, I really want to take a little movement break and do a little dance or a little take a walk around the building or, you know, just get the energy moving and the body moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So it might be really helpful to just lay that out just like that.
Mm-hmm.
for the next week or so and mm-hmm. kind of see what falls out. There are blocks of time that you're going to take care of business. And then at the end of that, your discipline will be to stop and
or
get outside or take your recorder and walk around the block and record about what you're seeing or whatever that is. And so to have maybe a couple of hours in the afternoon that are really structured
mm-hmm.
and just see what happens with that. rather than scheduling from noon to six every day, you know, you're that's what conditioning would like. Okay, now
right.
But just put in a couple of hours where you know you're not going to get distracted. You're going to take care of things that you really need to take care of during those times, and then you're going to do your celebrating and physical stuff. And then at the end of a week, just check in with what about that worked? What really felt like it supported you? What might you modify? And really let it be a work in progress. Not having a conclusion and fitting yourself into it, but really feeling your way into how to make this work for you.
Yeah, that's reassuring, because I feel like that's how my morning routine has evolved and is evolving. And I did a recording the other day about just that belief that, you know, about noon. It's like, you can't start your day that late. There's not enough time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe there is. Let's try it and see.
Yeah, well, and I would add to that I would nix that conversation immediately, because you're actually starting your day at 5:30.
Yes,
you know, Stephen Covey, I think, is the, you know, he was the one who talked about sharpening the saw. That's what you're doing. You're really preparing the human being for all of the things that come next. So that's probably the most important part of your day. Is just let the voice know that the next time it tries it.
You betcha I will, and I'm recording this conversation, so will remind it again.
Yeah, let me know how it goes, because scheduling is such a big part of our lives, and all of the resistance and the procrastination and the punishment and all of those things that go with it. So, you know, if we can work out a successful program here, we could take it on the road.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Margaret. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And, yeah, Sherry, I agree that getting clarity around scheduling and the process around that is incredibly helpful.
Yeah, it really is. There's just so much suffering in people's lives around that. Just being jerked from pillar to post constantly by whatever you're doing, you should be doing something else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Lori calling from Asheville.
Well, hello, Lori.
Hi. I'm really loving the year-long retreat, and something that I've been noticing or looking at has to do with what happens when the self-hate, you know, gets a lot of the attention in certain ways. And what just occurred to me recently has to do with something that you said that I remember, Sherry, if I'm accurate in this, is like, even when there's trouble going on or there's somebody doing something that's really difficult and I can't agree with it, that I don't want to leave the place of love in my own heart. It's not that I have to necessarily love that other person, but I want to stay connected to love. And
yes.
And so what I'm noticing about the self-hate is that's what occurs, is it's leaving the place of love and then going into judgment or control or fear. And so it's just noticing that, and also wanting, of course, to have the practice be to return to that place that would be the loving kindness, regardless of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And so is it that you catch yourself attending to one of those states, either the fear or the control or the hateful voices?
Yeah.
That you get caught up in it for a little while. When you become aware of it, then as quickly as possible, you want to get your attention on love.
Well, that's really what I want to practice. And it, you know, sometimes it's happening that way, and sometimes it's just such a habit of not doing that, you know, of being identified with the story. And so it's just the desire to continue practicing with that, with remembering that the only place I want to live is out of that orientation of love.
And are you aware, like, when you come to and and you know you want to turn your attention to love because that's your practice, that's what you want to do, but the voice is right there to talk to you about the fact that you were not in love. You were in one of those. You were giving attention to one of those other states. Is that part of what you're recognizing as its MO?
Well, it's definitely what happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I see the whole process at the way that it evolves from being caught in it and then afterwards then feeling all this regret and sorrow, really, about just being disconnected. That's really what it is.
And I'm guessing, I think this is what you're saying, that when you're in that sorrow, you're aware that that's also keeping you out of love.
Well, you know, I wasn't actually saying that. That's so helpful to, because it's just another stage in the process, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next
coming,
step.
Yeah.
What I just want to say this is that there's the regret, and then there's the sorrow, which seems to want to compensate for the regret. And what I'm hearing you say is, well, no, you know, that's just another one of the draws of conditioning somehow that would do this and then this and then this. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll keep going as long as we'll go with it. And the diabolical part of it is that what it's doing is using your goodness against you. Because you want to be in love. And then when it catches you, it's not like you just wandered off, right? It catches you and pulls you into one of those fear or upset, you know, one of those identified places. It pulls you into that. You come to because you practice awareness, so you come to, and then it uses your sincerity about wanting to stay in love against you. Now you have to feel bad. You have to feel bad that you did that. Well, actually, you didn't do that, but it's going to try to make you feel bad about it anyway. And we do until we see it. We do go along with that. It seems like the right person, good person thing to do. At least you can feel bad.
Well,
you can't stay disidentified.
If I don't feel bad, I feel sad, and that's been more acceptable than feeling like a bad person. It's more like sad. So But I hadn't recognized that as part of it. That's really helpful. Because what you're saying is that any part of that is all the shenanigans of conditioning and how it works, and it just kind of keeps turning the corner and then how about this one or turning the corner and how about that?
That's right.
Any of those things.
And it is. And it has a pretty good repertoire, right? So by the time you get out to the sad and then just disappointed, you know, just, and gosh, I wish, and kind of wistful. And I mean, it can go on for a long time, taking us through different flavors of, which is what I was talking about, feeling bad, not a bad person, but just down and kind of depressed and out of sorts and a little miserable.
I have to say, exhausted.
Yeah. And all of those, now you know, you can just nip. Okay, that's great. All those are just fine. But, you know, I choose love. I just want to love. So there's a bud on that tree. I'm just going to walk over there and love it.
Wow. It is that whole thing of just once again returning and turning back back home. It really does feel like
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. And the voices mm-hmm. will come in with, well, you know, if you're not sorry that you did it, if you're not sad or you're not upset about it or you're not disappointed, well, then you're just going to, okay, I'm going to risk it. I'm just going to
well,
risk it.
Well, and you're
going to
keep
choose
on
love.
On. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other part of it, because it says, that, well, you know, if you're not going to feel bad, then you're just going to keep repeating the same thing. And actually what happens is that I keep getting, you know, sort of tugged back into that place because of what I'm listening to.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. It's that is the underlying piece of wisdom we want to all get about everything negative. The big lie is that somehow it helps us to be better. And
yep.
it doesn't. It does is perpetuate the negativity. That's it. Which is where we find the courage to just say, not doing that. Choosing love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you are so
you.
Welcome. See you soon.
See you soon in beautiful North Carolina.
I know. I'm excited. All right. Good night,
okay.
Lori.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lori. And Sherry, that reminded me that we gave up feeling bad in 2013. I think it was.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Which includes all of those others, the sad and disappointed and regret and a tinge of guilt and all of those flavors of that. We're just not doing that because of what we were just talking about there, because it's all meant to perpetuate negativity. It's not helping anything.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good afternoon. This is Joyce in San
Diego. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Hi. Wow, this is just lined me right up for what I was going to talk about, which, of course, now just dropped out of my mind.
It'll drop back in.
It'll drop back in. Well, what I'll go to is the thing that really made me push the button today. And I just have gotten more clear on a subpersonality that feels, conditioning making it feel like it, that's me. And it's a very negative, unkind, just it feels like another skin. And I guess it would be the other side of the duality. You know, this is who I am on this skin, and that's what I am on the inside of it. And that's about as far as I can get.
So okay, there's nasty, nasty, grouchy skin. And what's the other side of that duality? Is there happy, cheery, positive skin?
Yes.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. And that.
And you watch you, you watch yourself go back and forth.
It's somehow been really subtle in that. I can be going along and everything's fine, and then, you know, somebody cuts me off on the road. And it kind of slips in there. I'll just say something, but then it sits back. It doesn't, like, come full forward.
It's just kind of like it's lurking around on the back of your shoulder or back of your neck or something.
Yes. Yes.
Sticks its head out around the side once in a while and then scurries back.
It does.
Mm-hmm. And what makes you that feel like you?
I don't know that it exactly feels like me, but there's another voice behind that conditioning, which just says, well, that's what you're really like.
Okay.
I mean, it's really, it's so obvious.
Yeah, when you say it out loud, right?
Yeah.
It's really obvious, isn't it? Yeah. So there's this little negative Nelly back there on your shoulder. Oozes out, oozes back. You know, and then there's a voice that says, that's what you're really like. Really? Come on, give me a break. Who are you? Who are you voicing what I'm really like?
This has just been so new that I haven't even said that.
Uh-huh. And you weren't meant to say that.
No.
You were never meant to say that. Because it was a good scam, right? As long as
it
was just all happening inside your head, it was working. And then you blew the whole thing by saying it out loud and making it obvious that there is a voice that is telling you that other voice is who you really are. And you're watching the whole thing happen.
Yes. It's that step back of watching and being separated from both sides of that. Gosh.
Well,
if
you're able to be aware of it, okay. So when we're completely caught up, you know those. I don't know. I bet maybe sometime you've had these moments that where you were so identified you didn't even know you existed. You know those where we're so unconscious. Yeah, and you come to at some point and it's like there's this vague recollection. Sometimes you know you can ask somebody, so what'd you do today? And there's this really long pause. okay, so. They could have either been very, very present or very, very gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's no awareness of the awareness. Right? But you're aware that this whole process is happening. And so that awareness is your actual experience. Not that thing that comes out and says something and not the voice that says, yeah, that's who you really are. What you experience as yourself is the awareness that is aware of that.
The experience of the joy of awareness knowing itself.
Could be,
did
yeah.
I butcher that?
Well, it's close. That's probably a little more full-bodied than the experience that we're talking about right now, but it's
mm-hmm.
on that continuum.
Wow.
So right now, your experience of you is being aware of the process of you. of what we're talking about, of what you see inside your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's your experience. And it tends to get very quiet because all that other stuff that is used to, we're used to having be there occupying that space between our ears, it tends to just lay really low. When, is it lay low or lie low? It gets really low when we're in awareness in the way that we are now.
I was speechless there. It's like it gets really quiet, but it's not that quiet place, you know, where the music starts doing a funny thing and you know something's going to happen. It's a it's the quiet of peace.
Yes.
And there's something trying to fill that.
Yes, but doesn't really want to come out and be seen.
Okay.
Which again can take us to that. There's something lurking around the back of my neck there somewhere, where there's something back there. I can't really sense it. I can sense it, but I can't really see it. I can't really identify it, but it's there. And then as soon as this conversation is over, it's going to go poof and be right there trying to fill all the space. Well, what you said was this, and you should have said that, and you don't actually know what, and what were you two talking about anyway, and what does this, and did you have to do the dishes?
And what is in the little bit of that space that I'm still in is that feeling of just the breath going in and out. And
that's right.
Not the tension in the body, the just the feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is kind of how you want your attention to be all the time, right? On awareness.
Yeah, yes.
Because that's what's happening. Instead of attending to that conversation, to the voice who wants to tell you who you are and what your experience is, you're just attending to the awareness. It's very spacious and quiet. Peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps that's been happening and that got me to go ahead and say that. I mean, that's when I chose to push the button. So thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Call up anytime and we can just, you know, just take a quick turnaround look at what's going on and get a completely different view.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's Woo. Hidden is revealed. All right. Very exciting. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
For joining us, Joyce. And Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hey, Greta.
How you doing?
Hi. Well, life is pretty challenging in regards to health. And, of course, the year-long retreat is extremely helpful
Good.
In that regard. And the other thing I wanted to express my gratitude for was the conversation you had with Rico a few weeks ago. That really, really spoke to my experience, and I deeply appreciated his sharing what he's going through and how he's approaching it in the sense of just, you know, accepting what is and then seeing what's possible. And that really, really, I'm just, you know, tearing up that it just was so meaningful to have Sangha like this that's able to talk about things that, you can't really have a conversation with other people that get it at, in the way our Sangha gets it.
And what you just said right then is so so important, because most of the time, for most people, if we listen to ego, we're in some mild tragedy all the time, right? There's something that ego is on about that is a big problem that we have to worry about and be engaged in and all that sort of thing. And most of the time, it's kind of a passing show, right? And we practice with that. We practice with accepting everything exactly as it is so that we see what's possible, what else is possible besides the conversation. And then we find ourselves in situations in life where it's not just a passing show, right? It's not that that problem is going to go away because next week at work it'll be another coworker doing something, or the boss, or the, you know, the money, or the whatever it is that's going on. It's something much more immediate and more compelling. And
exactly
that same, right, that same process is applied.
Yeah, and you know, it's been, you know, it's a series of miracles. I almost said small miracles, but they're not small, in the sense that every day I don't know. And I have to just get to this point where I tell myself, you know, we're getting comfortable with I don't know, because there isn't any, there's no firm ground to stand on. And yet, with practice, there's this grace that allows me to maintain a sense of humor, you know, or allows life to maintain a sense of humor in this incarnation, because I could just give over to everything conditioning wants to say about it. And I watched it today just really push me towards despair. And then, you know, it dropped in what our assignment is for today and the year-long retreat. You know, we're going to encourage this person to do whatever, to stay here and to have this moment, this breath, whatever it is, there's some peace available if we get here. And, you know, every day I get to practice that, and sometimes every moment I get to practice that. And I get to see, well, what's here for me is to love this person and to practice that, and by extension, share that as best I can with life and my experiences. So it's just
what a blessing that you had been practicing that to the best of your ability before this happened to you.
Right.
Because
I
project it would have been, as they say, a tough sell if you had tried to do this from a cold start, right? But you, even though we practice imperfectly, right, which the voices were always fond of pointing out to us, right? You're not really doing it. You know, you still really believe that you do know, and which is true, we do, and yet we're practicing. We know what we need to be doing, and then when we're right up against it, we have that to draw upon. We have that experience to draw upon.
Yes, and we get to see you know, this wearing away, or this walking in the mist, or the, you know, the river rounding off the boulders, or whatever metaphor, we just get to see, like, what sustains me throughout the day. Is it that I need a new car, or I feel like ice cream, or is it something else? I mean, all those things may be true, and I can see how that, you know, mental process engages me but what sustains me? And when you're right up against it, then you get a glimpse or a hard, cold splash of water. What's really true for you, you know, what's actually true, the things that we look at all the time become more crystallized, I would say.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and it sounds like, I project, you're going to be all right with me saying this, because already you're at a point with this where there's gratitude for that. There's gratitude for the choicelessness, because the choicelessness of the situation is what gives you the option of peace.
Yes, in fact, it's not an option, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, it's kind of that Zen paradox. It's this choiceless place. If we don't practice peace, all we have is suffering. So why not choose peace?
Why not? Why not choose love? You know, why not, right, why not feel, why not find something here in my surroundings to recognize as beautiful and to be grateful for that? Why not do that? Because, as you say, my only other choice is suffering.
And the grace of all of that is life provides that. I might be walking along and completely preoccupied, and something, you know, a smell, a sight, a sound will catch my attention, and there's the grace right there. And how can I stay in that suffering place when life is offering me this instead? And that, you know, we're blessed to have that every day. And I have to say, without the daily radio program, the daily year-long retreat, it would be much harder. I mean, yes to what you said earlier, and the daily practice and being together every day makes so much difference.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Wherever we are in practice, right?
Right.
So in that way that we were talking about a minute ago, you know, for some people the need might not be great. In fact, it's kind of a casual thing. You know, I'll get on the show when I can. You know, I'll be there as much as I can, because really, you know. And then there are other times when, it's a lifeline. It's a lifeline. I need Sangha. I need practice. I need it right now, every day.
And yeah,
we are for one another.
Right. And I don't know how people, I mean, we say this all the time, but, you know, how do you, you know, you're not able to do the things you used to do. You're not able to be the person you used to be out in the world. You don't have those supports to a friend, you know, people that you're going to see every day and have these interactions that define who you are. And yet, when you see that dissipate, when you see the need for that transformed, really, then you're, I mean, technology, you know, is saving us. And, you know, all we have is gratitude that here in my house I can be with people around the world, and I don't have to look for somebody to outside me. It's all right here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's this is where I always say it's a wonderful time to be alive.
Yes, indeed.
For exactly what you said, for exactly, just exactly that. We never have to let those voices make us believe that we are separate, that we are not surrounded by people who are doing the same thing that we're doing, and that we are supporting one another in that effort. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're together.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. If people didn't think so, that participation. So thank you, Sherry, Michael.
Thank
Sangha.
You, Greta.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Glad you're taking good care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. That was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And I'm going to bring on the next caller in the interest of time here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Paula in Charleston.
Hi, Paula.
Hello there.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. And I was noticing how much I thought I had to say and how much I was already hearing, like, I don't know, almost like everything I wanted to say was already was said. Yeah, I'm feeling a tremendous amount of gratitude for all the amazing opportunities that there are to practice, and also gratitude for seeing so clearly how much I do need support and need practice and want to participate and want to, I want to say what I need to say in order to reveal how ego-centric karmic conditioning and self-hate affects my life. And this year-long retreat, wow, it's not that they've all been fabulous, but day after day after day, it's just good to see what's up for me right now is really how much what I want is to be courageous enough to have the courage to say what's going on and be and trust that I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I hear a lot of times is that you don't say it, but it's not a lack of wanting to. I just often hear a voice that criticizes whatever I say to try and express what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beginning to be more and more revealed how frequently that happens.
Well, it's kind of what we were talking about with Joyce, right? That process is in there. It's inside your head. It's inside everybody's head, as far as I can tell. At least everybody I've ever talked to, and it wants to stay in there, and it wants to be unobserved, right? It wants you to know it's there, right? So the criticism is not hidden from you, but it wants to stay hidden from everybody else. And it really doesn't want you communicating in any way that is going to get you support, because it wants to be the only one talking to you.
Sometimes it seems that is exactly what is going on. It is the only one talking to me.
Oh, right.
Oh, gosh.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paula, the thing that fascinates me about it, this is just for me, this is personally fascinating, is that practice makes people happy. You know, I talk to people all day long, every day. And what people tell me is how much practice changes their life, that it's the joy of their life. Now, it's not practice itself that makes people joyful. It's that practice helps people be present to joy, right? Because your life, my life, Michael's life, everybody's life, is joyful.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not allowed to be present to it. We're instead present to this negativity inside the head, right? So when we practice, what that enables us to do is be present with the joy that is life. And that negativity that is ego is trying to stop us from that. Yeah? So, yes, participating, yes, getting together and being together all the time that we can be, because that's what puts us in touch with the joy that life is.
Mm. Yeah, you've nailed it. That's exactly what it is. Is that path, the path, practice is like the path of joy. It is the path
yes.
of happiness and mm-hmm. and love,
gratitude, and appreciation, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ego desperately doesn't want us to do that. So, no, I don't feel like, no, it's too hard. No, I don't want to. And, you know, people buy it because, well, first of all, because most people think they are ego and that ego is them. And when they hear that voice, they think, yeah, that's true. I feel that way. But with practice, we learn that, no, that's not. That's not true. And, no, I don't believe that and I don't feel that. And that's not how I want to live.
Mm.
I want to join in.
Yeah, and it's so true in my heart all the time that I really mm-hmm. want to join in. I want to, be on the calls. I want to participate. And what I hear, of course, is just something that's not helpful. Something that does, it just pulls me out off of that path of joy and compassion and happiness, all of those things, that all those qualities and characteristics of living in the light room, of having my
mm-hmm.
attention constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that dropped in recently. If you know, you're one of my very favorite quotes. Sherry Huber quotes is that the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention, and that
mm-hmm.
dropped in, and I said, you know, let's just go. That's 100% true.
And right. Let's
just go with
you know?
It.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Let's just try it out. Just see. Put it to the test. And then we find out, oh, well, that is true. Yeah. Okay, so it's like we were talking about Lori, right? Okay, then I choose love. I want to put my attention on love. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to talk about. That's where I want to live my life. Negative voices in my head that want to criticize me, I don't have time for that. I mean, they're fine. It's okay. But I don't have time to attend to them because I'm attending to love because that's the quality of life I want to have.
Yeah, and it's so true, and all this additional opportunities and encouragements from the year-long retreat to, you know, record and listen along those lines, you know, the love and
mm-hmm.
Approval and appreciation for the human, and that connection is just, it's just outstanding. And I want to do it more. I want to do it.
Yeah.
It seems like I can't do it too much.
We can't do it too much.
More.
Nope, we can't. Around the clock is not going to be too much.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, we have a plan. We have a plan.
Great. Let's go with it.
Okay, good. Let's go with it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Paula. Good night.
Thank
am I going to see you soon?
Yes, you will. I'm looking forward to
all
that.
Right.
You
all right. Very good. All right. Great.
Good
Until
night.
Then. Thanks, Paula. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. And thank everyone for everything. It's been a fabulous
thank everyone for everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank us all. By golly. All right. Go happy.
Go happy. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. You too. Good night.
Good night.